Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Our Father, this morning, as we come to the subject we began last week, I sensed your direction all week about this, Father, so I want to be sensitive. I want to be led, and I want to be a help today. I know you want to help us in this matter of forgiving one another. I ask you today, Father, that the Spirit of God would fill this preacher, and then in this room, take the words of this message and direct them to the heart and need of each and every one of us. We all need to know and understand how important it is to forgive one another. I pray you'll teach us about it today again. Instruct us and help us today, Father, please. I ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I cannot tell you how many people came to me after last week's message and said that message on forgiveness was something I needed and helped me in my life. Now, if you were not here, I'm going to review very quickly what we covered. And this morning, I'm going to preach on a subject again in an area of forgiving one another. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. Listen now. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So when God calls us to forgive us, forgive another person, He doesn't qualify what they've done to excuse whether or not we should or shouldn't forgive them. He doesn't even leave it up to us. He just tells us to forgive them. Now, to some people, they take that as a salt in the wound kind of thing. Why should I have to forgive them when they hurt me? We must remember this about forgiving someone. Forgiveness is more for the forgiver than the forgiven. It is for your benefit. He's not trying to add insult to their injury. He's trying to help you to get loose of this thing so you can go on. Forgive means to put it away from you. That is not an act. It is two things. It is an act and a process. The act of forgiveness is you decide you're going to let this thing go. A lot of people have that problem. They want to hold on to this. And because they want to hold on to what's been done to them, then they're not going to let it go in their life. You need to come to that decision. Listen now, for your sake, not theirs. And not like, okay, I'll forgive them just because I need to be better, but that's not the kind of forgiveness we're talking about. Forgiveness is not a bunch of words. Okay, I forgive you. That's not forgiveness. It's first of all the act of forgiveness, the decision to say, I'm going to let this thing go. But then it's a process because you'll remember something, it'll come up, and you'll have to keep putting it away from you. And that comes from the grace of God and His willingness to help you. And He will, because if He's told you to do it, He'll help you do it. And you go to your God and you ask Him to help you to put it away from you. But the how of forgiveness is, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You do not forgive them based on what they've done to you. You forgive them based on this. Your God has forgiven you of so much. And He did it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. You have no right to hold something against somebody else. You forgive as freely as you have been forgiven. And you value it that way. No, but I'll tell you something. No. Your sin and my sin nailed the perfect, sinless Son of God to the cross. And God, for Jesus' sake, in an instant, when you asked for it, He gave it to you. But even as we saw in the message last week, even before you asked, God was ready to forgive you. God decided to forgive you. That's why we're going to use the character Joseph today in our lesson on the message. That's why Joseph, when he was asked to forgive, he said, "But of course I forgive you. Am I God that I can't forgive somebody? Am I better than God Because that's what it is. It comes right down to you think you're better than God. I think I'm better than God. Because God is willing to forgive me of any and everything and has done so for the sake of Jesus, not even myself, for the sake of Jesus. And I think it comes right down to him. Are you better than God? You can't forgive like God forgives. You value it even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God has already forgiven you. If you're here this morning and you are a saved person, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Until you get saved, you have the penalty of sin hanging over you. And that penalty of sin is hell. That's not a cuss word. That's a place. And when you die without Christ and forgiveness, you go to hell when you die. And it's forever. But in a moment of repentance and faith, you turn to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior. God, for Jesus' sake, removes the penalty of hell from you. That's what saved means. Saved from hell. And God was willing to do that for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what they've done to us, nothing's as bad as sending somebody to hell. And God forgave us for that. The sin that would have sent us to hell, God forgave us for that in that instant, just that quickly. And the point is this, ladies and gentlemen, you value it against what you've been forgiven for, not what you need to forgive someone for. And if he's asked you to forgive, then yes, you most certainly can. Do you want to? Because it's for you. Hey, we'll talk about it again in just a few moments. It sets you free. Now, today I want to talk to you about the benefits of forgiving others. What are the benefits of it? And to give you the best example of the benefits of forgiving others, we're going to use Joseph from the book of Genesis. I think Joseph is the greatest human character in the Bible. You start in Genesis 37 and go to Genesis 50, 13 chapters of this man's life, amazing life. And here's why he's amazing. When he's 17 years old, he has these older brothers who are jealous of him because he's dad's favorite son. And one day when Joseph was sent by his dad to check on his older brothers, they see him coming and they say, "We're going to kill him." Everybody's wanted to kill the little brother, and I'm not talking about that kind of aggravation. I mean, they were going to kill him. So initially they took him, they threw him into a pit, and they sat down and had lunch and talked about how they were going to kill him. These are his brothers now, not just like associates. These are his brothers. One of the brothers said, "No, let's not do that. Let's take and sell them to this. Hey, there's a band of Ishmaelites coming along, slave traders. Let's sell them to those Ishmaelites, and they can get rid of them. They can do whatever they want to them." They go, "Okay, fine." They take Joseph out of the pit. They sell his brother as a slave. Now, you understand, this is not a weekend thing. This is the rest of his life. They're never going to see him again. They haul that Joseph, that young man, 17-year-old boy Joseph, down to Egypt. He gets to the slave market. A man very powerful in Egypt named Potiphar buys Joseph, so he's sold as a slave again. And he goes to Potiphar's house to be a slave in his household. While in the household there, Potiphar's wife lays eyes on Joseph and tries to seduce him. He refuses, and because she's shunned, she lies and said Joseph tried to rape her. So they take Joseph and they throw him in prison. So he goes from the pit to Potiphar's house. Now he's in the prison. Years of his life are going by. He interprets a dream for one of Pharaoh's men, one of his butlers, as a matter of fact. He interprets a dream for Pharaoh's butler, and the butler's taken out of jail. And two more years go by because the butler completely forgets about him. You know, he gets his and moves on. Then Pharaoh has a dream, and the butler says, "You know, I met a kid in the jail. Young man, he interprets dreams." They send for Joseph out of the prison. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph goes from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace. And he becomes the second most powerful man in the world, just like that. Just like that in 20 years. Famine's in the land, and his brothers come to get food because they hear there's food in Egypt. And you know who they have to ask for the food? Joseph. But they don't know it's him. He looks like an Egyptian now. And those brothers who sold him to slavery, they kneel before Joseph to beg some food from Joseph, to purchase from him. They don't know it's Joseph. Joseph knows it's them. Now he has the power in his hand, right here, to settle a 20-year score. 20 years, people, of brothers who sit down and talked about how to murder him, then sold him as a slave, then to Potiphar's house. He's a slave again, then thrown in prison, unjustly, unfairly. Oh, my soul. Now he can settle score with his brothers. He can get even with these people who have taken 20 years of his life away from him. And Joseph forgives them. He restores his brothers. He brings his family to Egypt and takes care of them. 17 more years go by. His brothers have still not asked for forgiveness. My favorite part, when I get to there in Genesis, where Joseph is going to reveal himself to his brothers and tell them who he is. If in my Bible reading, if I come up one chapter short, I have to read that part. Because in my mind, I can see the look on his brother's face. When Joseph says, "It's me. You thought you sold me to slavery, but God brought me here to take care of you, and I'm here to take care of you, fellas." Not one time do they ask him for forgiveness. 17 more years go by. He's feeding them. He's taking care of them. He's providing for them. They haven't said a word to him, and their dad, Jacob, dies. They send a messenger to Joseph. They don't even come themselves. They send a messenger to Joseph and lie to him again and say, "Dad said you have to forgive us." And then they come behind the messenger, and Joseph stands and he weeps before his brothers and says, "Am I God that I can't forgive you?" He says, "Don't you understand? Everything's okay." I don't know, 37 years of carrying somebody else's lies and deceit and hurt in your life, and just like that? No, not just like that. From Joseph's life, we're going to learn about the benefits of forgiveness. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. You do understand that Joseph, in our text this morning in Genesis chapter 41, you see he had two sons while he's there in Egypt. One of the names of those sons, the first one in Genesis 41, 51, his name is Manasseh, which he says is forgetting. Because he said, "God help me to forget all my toil." Now, the toil, you understand, is 20 years of toil. 20 years of slavery, 20 years of being a house slave in Potiphar's house, another several 20 years that encompassed being in prison, that toil. He said, "You know what, God help me to put all this aside." You know, forgiveness, my friend, forgiveness has a lot to do with being able to put something away from you. What we see in Joseph's son's name is that Joseph, listen, his brothers have not come yet. The famine is just about to start. The 7 years of plenty, as you remember the dream, the 7 years of plenty have come to an end. The 7 years of famine, there's going to be another 7 more years or 10 more years before Joseph's brothers ever come. But Joseph had already decided to forgive them. That's why I say forgiving others is a decision you must make. His brothers have not asked for forgiveness. They're not going to ask for forgiveness for 20 more years past that. But you see, Joseph had already asked to forgive them. He already considered in his heart that he was going to put this aside. He was going to forget. When it says there in verse 51 to forget all his family, it doesn't mean he's going to never remember his family anymore. It means he's not going to remember what his family did to him. He's going to put it aside with the grace of God. And do you notice? Please look again at verse number 51. Notice Joseph has to do this all by himself, doesn't he? Look at the verse. "And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God said he hath made me forget all my toil and all my fight." Oh, God helped him do that. God helped him to put it aside. God helped him to put it away. God helped him to go. See, before Joseph is ever asked, even unjustly asked, his brothers never asked him for forgiveness. They lied to him. They never made it right with Joseph. But Joseph, listen now, Joseph made it right with them long before they ever came before him. Now here it is this morning. You know what the benefits of forgiveness are from Joseph's life? Be the same for you and me. First of all, if you will forgive like you're supposed to and forgive others, your life will go on, you know. Joseph will experience 20 years of loss, and yet he prospers wherever God puts him. The phrase you'll see there in Genesis 37 to 50 most repeated about Joseph is this: "And the Lord was with Joseph." What? In a house slave in Potiphar's house, falsely accused. Where's God? "And the Lord is with Joseph." He's in prison. And it says it again. And the head of the prison made Joseph the charge of the whole prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Here's what it means, dear people. You understand, when I tell you that forgiving others is for your benefit, it does help you to go on with your life. So you don't spend the rest of your life with the woe is me poochie lip disease because something happened 22 years ago or 10 years ago or 40 years ago in your life and you just can't seem to get past it in your life. You're stuck and you can't get on with life. It taints every joy. It taints every happiness. It taints everything in your life. If you won't let it go, your life will never go on. Well, you'll sit around and you'll be another, they'll make a reality show out of you. The sad song life of a soul who couldn't get past it in their life. You see, Pastor Johnson, you're making light of my troubles or my sorrows. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you with them, the God of heaven will help you. God helped Joseph to forget. Do you think it didn't come to his mind? No, it means that Joseph, whenever it would come to his mind, he'd think, this is something I'm not going to hold against all the toil of my life. All the stuff that came of it. How much of our lives is affected and changed because of what others did or didn't do to us? They've touched our life. They changed some things about our life, about who we are and the way we think. But wait a minute. So that's it then. There's no more good life for me now. Because, now think about that statement for a moment. You mean to tell me a living, breathing soul can no longer have a good life because of something that happened 20 years ago? That's it then. Forgiving others means your life will go on. And I don't mean you'll just endure. All right, fine, I'll get up and do it. No. You know what you won't find in those 13-some chapters of Joseph's life? You won't find Joseph playing the woe is me. You won't find Joseph on Oprah. You won't find Joseph sitting around in a support group discussing all the stuff that ever happened to him in his life. You won't find Joseph writing a biography, autobiography about his life, about all here's all the 20 years of crime and suffering and sorrow been brought to me in my life. The Bible said Joseph was able to put this away from him. His life went on. Even though it wasn't going well, he was still having a good life. When we will not forgive, we cannot put the past where it belongs, and we cannot go on. You know what happens? Your life is tainted by what others did or didn't do to you. It's tainted. Oh, by the way, here's what you do. You take all that stuff from your past into everything in your present and everything about your future. And oh, everybody that knows you is going to suffer for what's happened to you. That's what people do, you know. Well, I had a lousy childhood, so then I'm going to make everybody else's childhood lousy. I mean, how stupid is that? And how selfish can you possibly be? That's selfishness. See, if I had a bad childhood, and I didn't have a real good one myself personally, but if I had a bad childhood, I don't want anybody else to have that. That would probably not be the right thing, would it? Unless you're just totally consumed with your selfishness. Well, I had a lousy father, so here's what I'm going to be, a lousy father. Is that dumb? That's like capital D dumb, yes? I didn't have a good family, so I'm not going to have a good family. Really? Frankly, you already know what you don't want, so you got to know what you do want. And then that should fix that thing. And by the way, when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, you mean I can't go on and have a good life now because something's happened to me? And I understand what those some things are. They can be horrible things. But I don't see that forgiveness, when it's applied as God tells us to, is limited to anybody's circumstances. Wherever Joseph goes, look here, his life goes on. And it's one of those things where, listen, being thrown in a pit and sold as a slave by your brothers is bad enough. But then sold again, that's bad enough. Then falsely accused, that's bad enough. He's like Job. There came another in Job's life. And every day, one day, Job, the man in the Bible, lost everything he owned and all of his children in one day. He got wiped out. Because there just came another messenger who said, now your camels are gone. And now all the sheep are gone. And now all 10 children are dead. And everything you own, whoop, gone in one day just because there came another and there came another. You know, this forgiveness thing, you think, well, I can forgive them and then all of a sudden life will be better. No, you'll probably have to keep on forgiving. But I tell you what will happen. Your life will go on and you'll be okay. You won't look like you got baptized in grapefruit juice. Like you got weaned on a dill pickle. Like there ain't no life anymore because, you see what I'm saying? Joseph's life did go on. Yeah, he went to the Potiphar's house. Then he went to prison. But then he went to the palace. And all that stuff, Joseph even figured it out. When his brothers came to him and said, he revealed himself to his brothers, they were in shock. And Joseph said, hey, you thought you did bad? God brought me this way. I had to go to Potiphar's house to learn how to take care of a household. I had to go to prison to learn how to take care of a prison, so now I can take care of a nation. So now I can take care of you. I got it. His life went on. So will yours. You know, it's a benefit of forgiving others. Your life is a blessed life. Joseph is a man who knows the wrongs of others, yet he knows the blessings of God as he goes along. Again, then the Lord was with Joseph. How do you think he put up with that, being sold again as a slave to Potiphar? Because he knew that God was with him. When Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of rape and he's getting thrown in prison, he knew God was with him. And I'll tell you why, by the way. Potiphar was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. You try to rape the captain of guard of Pharaoh's wife, he isn't going to throw you in jail. He'll just kill you. He knew the Lord was protecting him. He knew Potiphar was trying to set him aside and protect even his life by putting him in prison. Joseph could figure this out. You see what I'm saying? Joseph could even see the blessings and the fact that things got tough as they went along. See, we think blessed life. That man's not blessed. He's in a pit. He's in the Potiphar's house. Now he's in prison. How blessed is this man's life? Because the Lord was with Joseph. And he knew the Lord was with him. And whatsoever he did, God prospered that. And Joseph kept. Listen, if you're going to be in prison, assistant warden is the best job you could have. If you're going to be in a household as a household slave over in charge of the entire house, that's the best job you could have. Don't you understand? Even in the difficulties, God raised him in the circumstances and raised his difficulties so Joseph had the very best he could have in the circumstances that he had. And not because Joseph was of a good economic mind, but because Joseph had decided to forgive his brothers. And so he had a blessed life. See, we think blessed life means nobody ever hurts me again, I never have any more problems. You need pills if you think that's the case. That is just not going to happen. Listen to people, as long as there's human beings on this planet, people are going to mess with you. Are we clear? We do understand that, right? That is going to happen. By the way, that's not license for you to go to mess with somebody. I'm just simply saying it's the case. But see, you couldn't take the blessing of God away from Joseph. Hear me. The only one who can rob you of the blessings of God is you. Because the moment you hold something against somebody and you decide you're going to hate them for this and you're going to hold it against them, you just robbed yourself of God's blessing in that circumstance. Jesus even said it in the model prayer. When you pray, you say, Father, forgive me, even as I forgive those who have wronged me. See, it affects my prayer life. I can't even get prayers now. Can't even go to God and ask him for help because I'm holding something against somebody. Well, that's not fair. Oh, it's totally fair because he's willing to forgive you. Remember, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, he's willing to do all of that. The least you can do is let it go. And ask God to give you grace to let it go. Those who hurt you may be dancing around the fires of what they destroyed in your life, but they can't take your blessings away from you. God will lift you. Listen now. He'll lift you through all this and through the circumstances of Joseph's life. He was still a blessed man, even in difficult circumstances. Number three, benefit of blessings of forgiving others is your life is right. Joseph's brothers will come, and he gets even, but he doesn't. But why not? Somebody cost you 20 years of your life and you get a shot. Don't you think you'd want to take it? I mean, just kick them, something. Slap them. Do something to them. Why in the world would Joseph not hold something against his brothers? Because as I said a moment ago, forgiveness sets you free. Listen now, it sets you free. So you don't walk around ticked off all the time. One of those kind of people who's got a little bubbling temper about them, and all of a sudden, boop, then they're mad about this. Boop, they're mad about that. Remember Ephesians chapter 4, be kind one to another. Before that it says, let all wrath and anger and clamor and bitterness and evil speaking be put away from you. All that is issues of forgiveness. You're holding on to something against somebody, and you're not right in your heart and in your life. Well, if they would just quit. No. You stop depending on others to make it right for you. I've told you about my stepfather who's a drunk and beat us when we were children. Now that when I got older, I had a chance to get even with this guy. And God just took the sword out of my heart against this man. As I saw him lying in a bed in a nursing home, withered away with cancer. And I hated him. I hated that man like I never hated anybody in my life. He made our lives as children. He made it torture. When I stood over that man and looked at his withered body, my mother asked him, he said, this is Michael Van. Do you remember Michael? He just shook his head. Didn't even look at me. He never said, forgive me. Sorry for all I did to you, son. That man never spoke a decent word to me I could ever remember in my childhood. Look here. But see, when God took that away from me, I walked out of that room and I was right. Look here, people, look at me. I was right with my God, and I was right before my God, and I was right with people who had hurt me. Everything's okay now. My daddy, the Baptist preacher daddy of mine, ran off with one of the women in the church, and my mother turned to drink and became a drunkard. That's when she married this guy, a drunk and a bartender. Ooh, I had issues with my dad. I had issues with my childhood. Now look at me, people. And that's such a common story nowadays in people's lives. But you know what's uncommon? It's how people deal with this stuff. Your life will never be right until you let it go. Through the 20 years of his loss in Joseph's life, you see him. What happens to Joseph? He marries. He has sons. He becomes a powerful man in the land. I'm not saying you forgive others and you become wealthy and get everything you ever wanted. Listen, if it doesn't increase my bank account, but my heart is right, I'll take that. I'll take it. I can go to bed at night, pillow my head. I got no issues. I got no problem with nobody. I was preaching just a couple weeks ago in Southern California, and as you know, my dad and his wife lived down there, and I had a chance in one afternoon, they keep you busy in these conferences and stuff, but I had a chance in the afternoon to go see my dad. I'd called him, I'd set it up with him. I said, I want to have lunch with you. I went over and I picked him up. the church I was at in Long Beach is not a wealthy church by any means, but I asked them if I could borrow a car. So if I can, I'll rent one. And they said, oh, we'll get you a car. They gave me a brand new BMW. Now, whoever that man was that loaned me that car is like stupid. brand new BMW. I mean brand spanking new. And I've driven one before. You can flat get on those. Anyway, so, but it was two-door. So my stepmother would have to get in and out of that back seat. She just could not do it. They're in their 80s and physically just not capable. So I went to the guy who loaned me the car. I said, man, I am so thankful. You're crazy out of your mind for letting me have that car. But I'm very thankful, but I can't take it. I just can't use that car. My stepmother could not get in and out of that back seat. I'd have to pull her out of there, and it just wouldn't work. He said, I'll give you my car, a four-door Corolla, about that big. Looked like somebody's packing Charlie tuna in a can, getting in and out of that car. He said, I'll take that car. You can use my car. And so I had this Corolla. So I'm driving down the L.A. freeways. I pick up my dad. We go to lunch. We sit. We talk a while. After lunch is over, I take him back to his house where he's staying there. Now, there's 50, 60 years of stuff between me and my dad. Look here. But I hugged his neck and I told him I loved him. Every time I see him, I'm thinking this is probably the last time I'll see him on this earth. But see, I settled it with my dad a long time ago. And you know something, dear people? Look at this preacher this morning. My life is right. I'm not a perfect man by any means, but my life is right. You understand? My life is right. Everything's okay with Mike Johnson. It does not come because you have character more than anything else. It's just simply this. I put it away from me enough until God let me put it down. And now I have no issues with anybody. Now, next Sunday is the 32 years anniversary of our church. We started this church from scratch 32 years. No land, no building, no people, no money, nothing 32 years ago. In 32 years, we've had a few run-ins with folks. But my life's right with everybody on this planet. Can I ask you a question? Why would you want to hold on to something that's just spoiled you about life? Joseph goes through all of this, and his life is right. Lastly, you know what the benefit of forgiveness is? You learn how to forgive. You know what you'll never hear Joseph say? He'll never talk about Potiphar, his wife, that stupid butler who forgot him that cost him 2 more years in prison. You ever hear somebody start accumulating all the stuff that they're holding against people? Yeah, you know what so-and-so did? Let me tell you what so-and-so did to me. And then they start listening to that. And then they go from that person to another person. And next thing you know, they got a whole shopping cart full of bitterness in their life. Joseph will forgive his brothers, and that's the only thing you'll ever see him talk about is his brothers. He never talks about the others who wronged him. Do you know why? Because along the way, Joseph learned to forgive. Stinking woman accused me, that cost me years in prison. He never talks about it. You know why he let that go too? Now let's face it this morning. We're letting things accumulate in our lives, aren't we? Huh? We got a whole laundry list of the wrongs of society against you in this world. Yeah, you're the only one. That's the problem with that mentality. You're the only one. Nobody else has been wrong a bunch of times by a bunch of people in their life, have they? Yes, they have. Every one of us. Agreed? But the truth of the matter is, if you ever learn how to forgive right, you will learn the process and the plan of forgiveness, and you'll keep letting it go. And then you won't let anything accumulate in your life. The Bible says in the same Ephesians chapter 5, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I'm not supposed to have a problem the last 24 hours that ticks me off about anybody or anything on this planet. That's why I don't watch Fox News. You know, the truth of the matter is, you got to let it go. But if you ever learn to forgive right, you'll forgive. You know why? Because you'll have learned how to do that. See, Joseph kept having people do him wrong. But you'll never see him talk about it. You never hear him bring it up. Because he learned how to forgive. Forgiveness is a learning process. He'll never mention the other wrongs done to him in life because Joseph let that go too. The benefits of forgiving others are you for you. They're your benefits. Stop seeing it as an insult to have to forgive somebody. Start seeing it as the remedy so you can go on with life and be blessed and have a life that's right. And in the process, you'll learn how to forgive like you should and nothing accumulates in your life. And you just kind of go on. Yeah, oblivious to what's happening in life. Well, I'd rather be oblivious than be one of those head counters. Well, see, this is what happened to me, and this is what they did. And then they did this, and they did that, and everything else. Well, no wonder people are so messed up in their life and so bitter about things. Because you're keeping score. But the Bible says in the Psalms, if the Lord should count iniquities, who can stand? You better thank God he doesn't keep your record. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.